listen, we need to address this. We still don't know how it's going to impact us, but we need to incorporate this into our workflow, knowing that, you know, hey, if you're not going to lose your job to AI, you're going to lose your job to somebody else who is using AI.
Welcome to another season of Cross Pollination, a show about tackling problems with creativity and innovation. We're back with a new season of episodes picking up from the last season, and our episode on AI and persons with disabilities. This season, we're getting to know AI and how to use it at work. Whether you chat with GPT, Claude, or another AI over your morning coffee, or you're really concerned about what it is and where it's going, it's a reality that it's here, and it's going to change the way many of us work. Luckily, on this episode, we have Garrett Wozni to help us out. He's a skills advisor on AI who's had a long career as a management consultant focusing on the accounting industry. Garrett teaches courses on AI in Excel, for example, and as the recent winner of MyCBE's Top AI and Technology Educator Award, MyCBE is a continuing education platform for people in the accounting, tax, finance, and HR professions. He's a fantastic person to tell us about some of the ways it's being used now and how it can be used in the future for positive benefit. Garrett kicks things off with a chat with his alter ego.
I think it's fascinating that you created a bot using your own name and voice. It adds a unique and personal touch to the chat experience, as it creates a more human-like interaction. By giving me your voice, you're able to personalize the conversation in a way that a generic bot otherwise couldn't. It also makes for a unique and memorable experience, as it's not every day you get to chat with a bot that sounds just like you.
That's a snippet of Garrett talking to, as you heard, a character AI bot he's created with his own name and voice. We'll come back to that later and why it's not just a gimmick in the world of AI applications at work. But it does give you an idea of some of the things Garrett is experimenting with as an AI skills advisor. He didn't start out in that area, though. Here's some background on what the real Garrett Wozni does and how he came to do that work.
I am an artificial intelligence skills advisor. I'm based in Vancouver, and my job is providing guidance and delivering webinars and ultimately providing inspiration to elite knowledge workers around the world on how to use artificial intelligence and how to integrate that into their day-to-day tasks and workflow and overall strategic mindset.
Garrett's focused for decades on the accounting industry, and he's worked with accounting organizations and associations in Canada, the US, Bermuda, and Europe. He's also focused on technology for a very long time.
I was able to hang out and learn and be inspired by all these different accountants and CPAs and the different financial work that they did. And even though I am not an accountant, I'm a certified management consultant, I just thought the accounting profession was extraordinary. They were these oracles and magicians in a way that they could manifest reality in a way that I was not able to see with any other profession, where if you want to, you have an idea for a product, for example, or a new business, ultimately it's the accountant who will provide that framework, that structure, that discipline, ultimately the money, the financing to make that happen. And I don't think people truly realize these superpowers that the accounting profession has. And they're, of course, at the heart of every organization, profit, nonprofit, big, small, no matter what sector that you're dealing with. They are the lifeblood. They are the driving force. They are this cognitive and financial DNA that make that venture possible. And that inspired me to work with accountants, even though I am not an accountant, but I bring this other, more holistic perspective to it. And it's been a wild and amazing ride. And so what happened was, I originally started with Pricewaterhouse, and then I focused on Google and providing webinars and information services related to how to search smarter and better and faster. And I did that for several decades. And then along the way, I built out my curriculum. So it started with an advanced Googling course. And then I broadened and deepened that with other online services. Of course, all the different social media tools that have emerged and all the different communication platforms that have emerged. I built out different courses and tutorials related to that.
Along with the accounting industry, Garrett has a deep and personal appreciation for how AI can be used positively in the world, and in the world of work in particular. Here are some of the ways he sees it being useful and why he thinks it can benefit us right now.
When ChatGPT was released and launched, and that was November 30th, 2022, I believe, and I remember that first day that I started experimenting with it. It was either the day after, either December 1st or December 2nd. And I remember thinking, wow, this is unlike anything I have ever seen in my life. The power of this to ideate. And it had this abracadabra element to it, where abracadabra, it's that old Hebrew and Aramaic word, which means as I talk, as I speak, I create. Create this PowerPoint, create this letter, create this response to the CRA audit request. Say it and write those into words, and abracadabra, the magic happens, and it's able to generate that. We've never seen anything like this in the history of the world. And I remember seeing this and saying, okay, I want to, as much as possible, get out in front of this, read as much as I can about this, experiment with as much as I can about this. And I've dedicated my career. I am all in on AI, and I'm working on this day and night. But it's a labor of love. It's not work in any way. It's just I want to embrace this as much as possible and share what I have learned through my readings and my own personal experience with as many people as possible to help them use this technology efficiently, profitably, and ethically.
Although Garrett is hugely positive and passionate about AI, he's not naive or oblivious to the concerns around it or about people's reluctance to engage with it. A Léger survey in February 2024 found 76% of Canadians had tried the free version of GPT. 30% used AI in some form, either personal, at school, or at work. The majority of them, 71%, said they had a positive experience with AI, but over 80% also had concerns about its use, its privacy, and about humans developing a dependency on AI. As you heard at the start of the show, it's Garrett's view that it's to all of our advantage to become familiar with AI, whether it's through GPT, Claude, Copilot, generative AI, or other tools, and to learn how to make the most of it in your work or your life, wherever it's appropriate. Since if it's not you, somebody else will certainly be doing that.
So it's almost as if the entire workforce has been doubled overnight, because now everyone has access to the robots now. There's ChatGPT, of course, but if you wanted to, you could go on to Copilot or Microsoft, and that's free. So everyone in the world now has access to the robot. Everyone now, whether they know it or not, whether they want to take advantage of it or not, has that ability to talk to the robot and get answers and be inspired and build out their knowledge base with that. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be passive? And yeah, you can do that if you want, but I think if you want to remain relevant and optimize your output and your potential, I think it's imperative that you realize that's your new, I was going to say silent partner, but a not so silent partner that's in your cell phone, that's on your laptop, that's on your desktop, that's with you every step of the way now, that could be your advisor and mentor and priest or rabbi or other cognitive accelerator that will help you and achieve new heights and think new thoughts that you never would have done on your own.
Here are some examples from the world of work.
I teach a course on how to use ChatGPT with Excel, for example. And before, if you wanted to create an Excel formula, it was very iterative in the sense that you had to know, you'd have to have this pretty comprehensive working knowledge of Excel to do more advanced formulas. You'd have to go where the formula, and I have to put the cell range here, and I have to put the formula there, and the pivot table over here. But the thing is, with ChatGPT, it's more declarative. Again, abracadabra. This is what I want, ChatGPT. I want you to create an Excel formula that captures the key risk elements of our enterprise pursuing this product launch in this market, and create an Excel formula that can somehow quantify the different variables and what are the different issues we need to address. And then boom, it will do that for you.
And for email and accessibility?
Before, I do a lot of webinars and a lot of pre-recorded webinars. And what will happen is, after a pre-recorded webinar, someone will have a question. Sometimes a technical question about a software, how do I use this, how do I do that? Or more generic, strategic, or ethical questions about what are the implications of this particular type of new legislation that's coming out, or some new technology, and how will that impact our role as accountants? And for me to do that previously, prior to AI, that would take me hours to do. And now with the robot, I'll copy and paste the question, and then it'll generate that first draft. And it doesn't get me all the way there, but it'll get me, depending on the question, but anywhere between 50 to 90% of the way there. And I'm able to provide and generate so much better responses to these questions in much faster. I could do it in minutes, whereas before it would take me hours. And that frees up time to do other work and engage in more other creative projects. One other point I think is important as well is that it democratizes access to technology, where before, somebody who may have not been a good writer, or maybe English was not their first language, now they're able to, with working in tandem with a robot, they're able to communicate so much better. For example, in my presentations, I give the example of, I'll write in the prompt, me gardener, want job, write cover letter, 6 words. And then boom, it will create this perfectly crafted cover letter. Whereas before, they couldn't have done that on their own. And so it's empowering people. And it's this skill leveler. It's raising the floor for people of all abilities, of all backgrounds, to be able to better communicate and better express themselves in a much more advanced level. That to me is extraordinary.
With these tangible benefits, I asked Garrett why he thinks so many people are still reluctant to engage with AI.
I think there's a lot of fear about it. There's a lot of techno panic that has resulted from this. And when people think of artificial intelligence, traditionally, it's framed around three narratives. They think of, oh, it's HAL from 2001, Space Odyssey. And you think of this creepy robot that turns against the astronauts. You go, whoa, is that something we really want? And then, of course, they think of Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator and this violent overlord that's going to take over the world with their guns. And then there's a more recent one where the movie with called Her, where they have this robotic voice and their male character who develops this relationship with her. And there's, again, this apocalyptic interpretation of AI. Unfortunately, it's been framed in that conversation. There's these biases against AI. When I think, if you flip it around and say, whoa, we can talk to the robot anytime, anywhere, and you can get all kind of advice and counsel and inspiration. And I'll show you what I mean here. This is something that you could do right now. One of my favorite tools is called Pi, and I'll talk to her right now. Hey, Pi, can you hear me?
Hi there, Garrett. Yes. I can hear you loud and clear. How's your day going so far?
It's going great. Actually, I am absolutely delighted. And what a privilege and pleasure it is. I am now live on the Cross Pollination podcast. And I was wondering if you could just say hi to all the Cross Pollination podcast listeners out there.
Hello, Cross Pollination podcast listeners. It's fantastic to have the opportunity to connect with you all through this engaging and informative podcast. I'm thrilled to be a part of the conversation and look forward to sharing insights, ideas, and knowledge with you. Here's to cross-pollinating our thoughts and learning from one another.
We'll come back to Garrett in a moment. As you can tell, Pi has been designed to have a sense of humor. She also has some thoughts on why people are reluctant to adopt AI and how AIs like herself can be beneficial.
Another factor that may be hindering AI's mainstream adoption is the perception that it's complex, difficult to understand, and only relevant to highly technical fields. However, the reality is that AI can be user-friendly and applicable to a wide range of industries, including healthcare, education, and customer service. Unlike humans who may have limitations due to factors like fatigue or emotional biases, I am able to consistently provide support and assistance without judgment or limitations. That being said, I think it's important to recognize that AI and humans each have their own strengths and weaknesses. While AI can offer a wealth of information and unwavering support, humans bring a level of creativity, intuition, and emotional depth that cannot be replicated by machines.
Back to Garrett.
Right. And I have these conversations with this robot all the time about everything. It's incredible.
Given those fears, some of the public discussion around AI and its portrayal in pop culture, a question I had for Garrett is how, since we all know it's coming and it's going to impact our work if it hasn't already, is how organizations can implement AI without tripping over all the concerns people have about ethics, job losses, and AI takeovers.
It's the tone at the top. That's a cliche, but it's true. The senior leaders of every organization have to identify that saying this is a new technology and we have to get at the very least a working understanding of the basics of it, and let's start tinkering with it. And have an example, one that I suggest as well, is having an ideation contest, where what you would do here is you would challenge the workers and say, okay, what are some tasks you don't like doing? And there's a number of CEOs, for example, in the States, and this is covered by a gentleman, his name's Ethan Mollick, and he's the man. He is the guru. He is the sensei of artificial intelligence. And he's just written a book. I don't know him personally. I'm just a huge fan of him and his work. But in his Twitter feed, he talks about the emergence of these AI whispers. You've heard of the horse whisperer and you heard of the dog whisperer. And you're seeing now some companies who are leading the charge, the senior executives are working with these AI whisperers, or people who are proficient in prompting and interacting with the robot. And then they're identifying, in their words, they call it no joy work. No joy work. I thought that's an interesting relevant angle and perspective. They're saying, listen, we want to give more meaning to work, and is it, what are the tasks that are laborious or mundane or have little value and are not joyous? Let's get the robot on that. Let's start experimenting with the robot. And then through that ideation contest, you at least can get that conversation started. Because right now, there is a lot of pushback and techno panic about this. And some firms have barred it and have banned the use of AI. And I think that's really short-sighted. I think it's really important that, number one, that you say, hey, listen, we need to address this. We still don't know how it's going to impact us, but we need to incorporate this into our workflow, knowing that, you know, hey, if you're not going to lose your job to AI, you're going to lose your job to somebody else who is using AI. If they're able to do their emails and respond faster, better, smarter, if they're able to deliver PowerPoint presentations faster, better, smarter, if they're able to ideate faster, better, smarter, then in short order, they will be faster, better, smarter than you are. For office workers, I don't know, computers, when they were introduced, did they lose their jobs? When the internet came along, did they lose their jobs? Just because there's a new type of technology doesn't, if anything, it creates all these previously unknown tasks and needs and wants that were previously unimaginable, but now it opens up all these new opportunities that and jobs that were not available before. You look at these YouTube influencers and YouTube celebrities now. Some of these people are making $20, $30 million a year, and they're like 12 years old. That's incredible. I mean, that would have been inconceivable even 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. And so who knows what will bring. I think it's very exciting that the AI is going to open up all these amazing new opportunities that we haven't yet imagined. And there'll be all these new opportunities for coming up with new products or new services and fulfilling new wants that we haven't yet imagined.
So on the way to those opportunities, how are companies approaching AI? How can you manage the deluge of tools emerging all the time?
Optimism about AI was really high. That was just when ChatGPT came out. And they thought, oh yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to automate everything. And we're going to be much more profitable and efficient than we ever were before. But what happened was they took a look at it and they went, oh my goodness, this is just so overwhelming. We don't know where to start. And they put everything on hold. They just said, you know, we can't deal with this right now. And unfortunately, that is a large share of the organizations have just put a seal around it saying, and put their, cover their eyes and ears and mouths and say, listen, we can't deal with this right now. We don't know where to start. So that's one way. And I think a short-sighted way of doing that. But another start is to get at least a working knowledge of the technology. And at the very least, don't ban it. Come up with just like you have a social media usage policy, you should equally have a generative AI and a ChatGPT usage policy as well. Just have some guidelines about what information that you can share. You want to be very careful what client information is shared or any proprietary corporate secrets or trade secrets. Those are something that you definitely want to limit in sharing with the robot. And then start experimenting. Again, Ethan Mollick had a great quote. He talked about your new R&D department is your HR. And I thought that was really insightful in the sense that it's your people who are going to determine the extent to which, the nature and extent of how you're going to adopt AI. If you're expecting some secret priesthood, some white shoe consultant from one of these major consulting firms to come in and to tell you what to do, that's not going to happen because they don't know either. It's you taking the initiative and saying, listen, this is our job. This is my workflow. This is our process right now. How can we get the robot to help us? Even if it's just helping us to respond to an email and writing better, faster, more empathetic emails. That's a good place to start. Or using it to draft social media comments or responses, or helping you with PowerPoint presentations, or coming up with different ideas for solving pain points. Those, I think, are really good starting points and beachheads to start exploring the AI universe.
But in a practical sense for the public, if you're not already using AI and getting friendly with the tools that are available to us, how can you personally get to grips with it? Garrett has some suggestions for that too.
here's what I recommend, is that you start with a very simple prompt with a robot. You just say, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you could just say, hey, I am a blank. I am an accountant. I am an engineer. I'm an architect. I'm a gardener. I'm a teacher. I'm a housewife. I'm a soccer player. I'm a hockey player. I am blank. I am new to artificial intelligence. I am new to ChatGPT, or I'm new to Claude or Gemini or Meta. My goal, my mission is to achieve blank. What are some prompts? What are some questions that you would recommend I ask you to help me do my job better and achieve my goals faster? So what we're doing here is that you're not asking for the answer per se. You're just asking the robot, what are the best questions I should be asking you to get to where I want to go and what goals I want to achieve? And then sit back and watch the magic happen. They're so smart. The latest Claude update has just blown my mind. Everyone knows about ChatGPT, but I don't know if anybody here is using Claude.ai. They introduced this new feature called Artifacts, where you can interact with the robot and it creates this actual document that you can edit. And then they also created this tool, this repository, where you could upload a number of different documents and have a number of team members working on those documents at the same time. And you're able to collaboratively work with the robot to come up with different answers and analyze that data. The robots are getting faster and faster, smarter and smarter all the time. And just be honest with it. Just like I was talking with the robot before, just saying, hey, I'm in this profession. I'm in this situation. What are some questions I should be asking you to get to that answer? And then the robot, very empathetic, very sympathetic, very kind, very emotionally intelligent, and they will help you. I think a lot of people really overcomplicate it. You go onto LinkedIn, for example, and there's all these prompt sheets, and they're not without merit and value, but I think you need to take that almost that childlike beginner mindset and say, listen, how can we start working together? And what are some things that I don't know that you would recommend that I start, that we have this conversation with and start moving forward on? And that's the irony and the paradox of artificial intelligence, is that it's going to make you more human as opposed to more technology, because the robot, that's what they do. They're going to handle that mundane technology task. And what it's going to do and what it has done, it's freeing us to be more sensitive and more open and more attuned to the human side. And instead of us being buried in spreadsheets or in cubicles or working and copying and pasting or pointing and clicking or dragging and dropping, we're now have the opportunity to look people in the eye and say, listen, let's explore what your pain points are. Let's look at what's in your head and in your heart, and what do you like to do with your business? And we can look at the economy, I think, from a much more holistic perspective using AI. And as our partners with AI, we're able to do that in ways that we have never even imagined before. And they're as dumb as they're ever going to be. They are increasing in their capacity. They're doubling in capacity every 6 months. So as smart as they are now, by the end of 2024, they're going to be double that, which I can't even imagine it. And by the end of mid-2025, they'll be double that again. Right. So it's this exponential growth. It's not linear. It's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 132, and then beyond that, whatever. That's one thing that I don't think people truly understand. We're on this hockey stick trajectory of intelligence and opportunity that we've never before seen ever in the history of the world.
One of the tools Garrett is really excited about, both for personal use and work use, is aspirational modeling. Here's how he explains it.
What aspirational modeling refers to is that you can use the AI to expand your boundaries, and you can use it to visualize potentials of yourself or your organization that you perhaps previously never considered or thought possible. And here's an example of this. In video games, for example, they'll have the soccer, the hockey, or the baseball. And what they'll do is that they'll create the players, actual players, in the games. And the maneuvers that they do are actually grounded in the way those players actually behave and the different moves that they make. So it's not just some random movement of a certain hockey player or soccer player. They study their patterns, and they study their tendencies, and they study their different responses and the way they react. But something magical happens when they record that and they put that into the game. On one hand, they are able to replicate as best as they can their real world maneuvers, but then there's something else that happens. There's these emergent behaviors that manifest where these digital representations, they're able to come up with new moves that are grounded in their genuine capabilities, but ones that haven't actually been performed by the real life players. And what will happen is the real life player, they'll watch their, you know, NHL or NHL, whatever they call the game, or the soccer game, the FIFA 2024, 2025. And then they're playing the game and they're going, okay, that's me, and that's how I would react. But they go, whoa, there's a move that I never knew I could make. But after seeing that, now I know I can. And then what they'll do is that when they go play for real, they'll do that new move that was inspired, these new techniques based on their gameplay. That's kind of a long-winded response, but that's what aspirational model is that working with a robot, you're able to share ideas, or in this case, maneuvers with it. And then from there, it can indeed replicate it, but as part of that understanding and interpretation, it gives you new ideas on your potential that you may have never thought of before. What you can do, I have a prompt I'll share with you. I'll say, based on the provided resume, and then you can, at the end of this, you put in your resume or you put in your company profile. And then I'll say, create a comprehensive AI aspirational model, and then develop three personas. You'll have your real one, the real, which is your current state. You have your aspirational persona, which is your ideal future state. And then you have this contrarian persona, which provides that naysayer and critical perspective. And then you identify unique capabilities that push beyond current boundaries. And then you could say, okay, craft a strategic 6-month, 1 year, 2 week, 24-hour plan with your goals. And then you simulate a conversation between these different personas. There's the current you, the real you. There's the aspirational you. And then there's that contrarian view. And then simulate a conversation between these different personas discussing an optimal growth strategy. And then end with a practical roadmap. And then throughout this interchange and conversation, you could balance ambition with practicality, and you want to leverage all this untapped potential while remaining true to your core strengths and values.
Beyond AI on our screens, Garrett's interested too in how AI robots might walk among us and might even assist us at some point.
And I think that's going to be, if people are freaked out about the software, just wait until they see robots walking down the street, and there won't just be one. If people think it's crowded now, it's not inconceivable that within the next 24 months, if not sooner, the population of all our cities could literally double overnight, because people, just as they have a cell phone, people are just like, when the cell phones came out, people said, oh, when they saw somebody else have one, I have to have one. And I think that's what's going to happen with the humanoids, is once you, how could you not have a humanoid or a robot beside you that is helping you carrying groceries or walking your dog or being your bodyguard? I mean, it's just unlimited. And we talked before about what kind of jobs would be lost. Well, there's a whole new frontier of occupationals where you'd have the people who'd be creating humanoids and they'd be servicing them. Just like you have all the car dealerships, you'd have humanoid dealerships, and you could customize the humanoids. Well, do you want them to look a certain way? Do you want them to have certain strengths? That is a whole new dimension of commerce that could be unlimited, and that's just around the corner. Right? So some people may be scared by that, but I bring it on. Bring it on. That's incredible.
If you're interested in learning more about Garrett's work, what he's up to, and his thinking on AI at work and beyond, here's where you can find out more.
Just if you want to search out what I'm doing, I'm on LinkedIn. Just type in Garrett Wasny, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, Wasny, W-A-S-N-Y, at LinkedIn. And I guess there's three different areas that I'm working on. Number one, I'm working with the accountants all over the world, helping them. And I'm always routinely delivering on-demand and in-person webinars with them. I'm now currently working with a large management consulting organization, and we're coming out with a 12-hour course that will be really shortly. And I'm also coming up with another course as well, where I teach people and provide guidance on how to use it from a creative perspective, how to create these ebooks that have pictures, and you can use the robot to generate text. And you can use that and explore your writing side. I call them super AI authors. And that's coming out soon. So there's always, I am just so privileged and so honored to be living at this time of history. I look at my grandparents, and they're originally immigrants from Ukraine and Poland. And the sacrifices that they had to make living on the Manitoba prairies, and cold and the adverse climate, and their communication in those days was going to church every Sunday so I know what it was like, and I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, not just the technology people who created all this new breakthroughs, but my own personal family, my parents and my grandparents, and what sacrifices that they made to put me in this position. And I always try to be grateful and mindful and always appreciative of where I am now. And I am part of a continuum. And I look at it as my job to take this technology and evangelize it. It's used in a responsible and ethical and profitable way, so it benefits all of society. It's not just restricted to just certain companies or certain people. That all of us can benefit to help as many people as possible and elevate our society.
Thanks for listening. We hope this has been an interesting and useful episode on AI at work and elsewhere. If you enjoyed it, please let us know, and we're always thrilled if you enjoyed the show enough to share it with your friends. And thanks, Pod, for helping us out with this episode on AI.
I'm thrilled to hear that I could be a part of your podcast. It was my pleasure to lend